Hi, this is John DeLancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, it's Carter Mann, and you have just jumped inside the pull bag.
That sounded weird.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this episode of the pull bag, I do say it is episode 509, but I found two lost episodes of the pull bag, which means that this is actually episode 510 of the pull bag. Just wanted to give you that quick thing before we get into the episode. Make your great escape into comics and let's head off to Star Trekville or World or whatever. Welcome to the pull bag. This is episode 509. That's right, folks, 509 episodes. I am, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me for this only episode in February of 2023 is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
That's good. That's good. And we have two Star Trek issues that we're going to be talking about. This is, I believe it's supposed to be a miniseries.
I'm kind of stuck because it's Star Trek. There's no...
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how many issues this is going to run.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I think minimum of six,
but...
Yeah, no, I think that it's one of those things where I saw, like, you know how... any insert company name here will say, oh, here's a new number one of this new quote-unquote series. And then two issues down the line, they're like, well, it's actually going to be a four or five or six issue miniseries, which I'm fine with. I just want to know beforehand. So we are continuing our Star Trek journey with IDW. The cover A, as we open this, is basically a fist with blood and a knife. Oh, boy.
And the Klingon symbol in the background.
Yes.
Blood Brothers.
Yes.
I could see Hulk Hogan playing a Klingon. He's got the build for it in the face and, you know, the goatee.
Technically, he already did, didn't he? Suburban Commando. Yeah, oh, we got to do that movie on studio. Oh, God, Suburban Commando. What the hell?
I actually like that movie.
I do, too.
Because you get Hulk Hogan, and I always liked Hulk Hogan and Christopher Lloyd. Anything Christopher Lloyd's in, or mm-hmm. Arnold, or, you know, those guys. You know, he walks in and he's like, I was frozen today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Anyways.
So the creative on this for Star Trek is Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing are the writers. The artist is Oleg Chudakov. The colorist is Lee Lowridge, and the letterer is Clayton Cowles. I know some of these names. And we get like this, I don't know what you want to call it. It's a kind of like a recap, but it's not a recap. And
well, it's his captain's log. He's kind of discussing like his thoughts and all of the things he's had to go through since he kind of came back. But I mean, generally, the captain's log is them just making an official report.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the stuff like above where the creative team is listed on that first page. By the 24th century, humanity has spread among the stars, like all of that. It just doesn't seem like that's like I'm supposed to be reading that in Sisko's voice. Like it doesn't seem like that's like he starts the captain's log when we first start, you know, when we first get into it. And he says that the prophets have spoken through action and circumstance and all that. I love the art. I love the colors.
Well, I love the colors, even though, like, yes, some of the details are not, you know, like exact on things, but it doesn't bother me. Like, and what I mean by exact, it's not like, you know, their face doesn't look exactly. No, I mean, I know who it clearly is trying to look like. I mean, some of the art, like in the top panel specifically, where he's in his
chair.
No, where he's in his robes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And he's kneeling like that, where it's kind of the grainy look. It's kind of kind of reminiscent of a 90s aesthetic with comics.
Yeah, because it's you're supposed to be, because the main part of this first page, this first panel, is kind of like in focus of him in the chair. But it's like, you're right. It does start out with him kneeling beside his bed or whatever couch or whatever the hell that is. And it's supposed to look like a distant shot of him. And yeah, but it's good. I don't dislike it. It's, I don't know.
Well, either way, I think that it's kind of spectacular. I love the recap. I love the panel where you see Worf coming back. Mm-hmm. Into the fold, and you know, meeting back up with Sisko, and you know, it's funny seeing Sisko say, you know, a man I will forever consider my brother, and then and it's funny because Worf kind of has this weird transformational thing in various franchise elements in the comics, and I mean in the series he actually would have been the chancellor of the high command, like, because he killed Gowron in the end of the Dominion War, but he didn't want it. He gave it to Martok, which I know these are Greek to you, but
it's okay.
But regardless, like, he handed over the leadership. He's like, I'm not a politician, you know, and Martok's like, I'm not either. But Worf basically handed it over and stayed with Starfleet, but became an ambassador to Starfleet with the Klingon Empire. And it's kind of funny because in Star Trek Online, that was his path he chose too. However, in Star Trek Picard, it looks like he became a captain and became the captain of the Enterprise E for a short time. And then he still holds the rank of captain and wears the uniform, albeit modified. But he appears to still be in Starfleet.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little interesting how they kind of dance around that. I mean, I know that they kind of in the comics and in various other media, they kind of dance around different aspects of the characters and kind of change it up. But I'm kind of happy to see this version of Worf here.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And I need to go back and I want to do a rewatch of DS9. Like, I remember.
I do a review show with you.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I remember watching DS9 here and there, and what I remember of it is not okay. So I remember Sisko. I remember, was it O'Brien?
O'Brien came from the Next Generation,
right? But it's that guy. It's what's
Chief O'Brien,
name?
Miles O'Brien.
Yes, him. Because the guy from Con Air, the FBI agent from Con Air that was going against John. So I like that actor and I like that character. So I know Sisko, I know O'Brien, I know obviously Worf, and I know Quark.
Quark is the Ferengi.
Yes.
And then you get Odo.
Yeah, I don't.
He's the shapeshifter that constantly is up, you know, messing with Quark.
And
Bajoran, first officer Kira,
and then obviously at some point in that series you get Q.
Well, Q is in Deep Space Nine in the first season. He's in episode 6.
Yep.
He shows up long enough to get punched in the face by Sisko, and then he promptly never returns. Actually drops off Vash, who was in The Next Generation in 2 different episodes, and Q used her as bait to get Picard to play the Robin Hood storyline. And because that was the second time that she'd shown up. And then she shows up in Deep Space Nine and wants to be free of Q.
Yeah. So we, getting back to the comic, we are on the Klingon homeworld, and we see its emperor and the Klingon Empire, and then we get the Elkars and the Memory Alpha diplomatic briefing A-28, the Klingon Empire. And this is basically just, outlying, you know, what the Klingons have successfully conquered and how their governmental structure goes and all of that. And I'm digging this. Like, I don't like, I'm on the edges of Star Trek and I'm really digging this story.
Well, I love I love this version of the Klingon Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Not that garbage that Discovery handed us, you know, orcs called Klingons. This is true, like TNG Deep Space Nine fashion here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's funny, for one, how they kind of show how the government structure works, because it's always been kind of confusing, even though, I mean, there's always been an emperor or a chancellor. This is Kalos the Second, because in an episode of TNG, they had somebody on the Klingon homeworld, or Borath, one of their colonies, cloned him. The original Kalos. They took the blood of Kalos off of a blade and cloned him, and then filled him with the knowledge of the Klingon Empire. And so he believed he was Kalos, and even, you know, Worf figured out, he's like, this is not the same man, you know? And so he kind of had to be schooled. So it's kind of funny seeing him be kind of ballsy here. And then of course, Martok is, you know, the chancellor here, and then the High Council. And then you get Worf as the Federation ambassador.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I love just the way the story is being played out. I love, like we mentioned last time when we did issue one, how his son is introduced, and just how when I say his son, I don't mean Worf, I mean Sisko. Just how Sisko is dealing with all, like, again, this is what makes me want to go back and rediscover DS9, because I like Sisko. I loved Avery Brooks as that character.
Well, he had this passion for it in a way of kind of commanding the room,
mm-hmm.
with a no-nonsense attitude. Like, he could have fun, and he was very much a family man, but he also didn't take crap from anybody.
Yeah. And part of this story here is, you know, they're trying to negotiate and all of that, and the Emperor says, or Sisko says, let us do what we do best, extend a hand of peace, find the truth, and then, if there is to be a fight, we take it to the one who betrayed your peace and threatens our galaxy, whoever they may be. And the answer is, never now go. Oh, Klingons, you dumb bastards.
The Klingons, it's kind of funny how they're just like very much, they don't like talk, and especially, and this kind of look that Kalos is showing here,
mm-hmm.
where he's like, never, now go.
Yeah.
It makes me believe he knows more than what he's letting on to.
Oh, absolutely he does. Like, he has that, like, it's not one of those, like if I made a joke and I did a raised, like, what's the stupid joke? A guy walks into a bar. The first thing he says is, ow.
Yeah.
Well, the next thing I'm going to do is, like, raise my eyebrow. Is like, huh? You get it? You get it? Kind of thing. But in this case, the way he's scowling, the eyes on him, he's scowling, but he's also kind of gritting his teeth, smiling. Like, he's not frowning, but it's a mixture of emotions on his face. So you know that, again, his no answer is because, like you said, he probably knows more than what he's letting on. And they're going to have to figure that out eventually.
Yeah. And then, of course, Commander Data.
Yep.
He's waiting and has to beam them back. And Worf comes back with them.
Yep.
And it's funny that Sisko basically calls Worf back to duty.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only two men that Worf would honor that respect with.
It's him and it's Picard.
Yep. It's the only two he would willingly go back into the fray for. and you know he kind of misses it because he's been doing paperwork. And then you get to see the awesome god of the Theseus here.
Yes.
Oh,
man, the Theseus. Look, I'm sure everyone is tired of the, like what Scotty always said, the Enterprise, just the Enterprise, no bloody A, B, C, D, or what, you know, whatever, like, but Theseus, I don't know if, I like the ship itself, I like the way it looks, but I'm still kind of on the name.
Yeah, the name, I'm kind of, but it's supposed to represent, like, that ever-changing, ever-constant.
Mm. That's true.
Kind of being there, you know, being pushed up the hill and, you know, starting back over.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, you know, because it's been rebuilt multiple times, but Scotty's the one that's been doing the legwork, so.
That's the thing I love about this comic. There are characters that I know, and there are characters that are either new to this, or maybe they aren't, you'll tell me when we get to them, but, like, there are characters I know, and then there are characters that I don't know. And when the characters I know start showing up and start interacting with the characters that I don't know, I'm like, this is why I like this book, is because it's a mix of everything. It has something for non-Star Trek fans who may want to get into it, or diehards like you, or somebody like me who's just kind of in the middle and knows certain things, but is basically, you know, stupid to other stuff.
Well, and it's funny because they have the four best Trek series represented here.
Yep.
They have the original series with Scotty.
Yep.
Who crossed over into TNG.
Yep.
They have Dr. Crusher, Data, and Worf, who represent TNG, but Worf crossed over into Deep Space Nine.
Into Deep Space Nine.
And then you obviously have Sisko and Worf in Deep Space Nine, and then you have Tom Paris for Voyager.
Yep.
And then the other two are new.
Yeah. I like the new Spock.
The new Vulcan.
I know he's not Spock, but I like him.
Ensign T'Lair?
Yes. I don't like his name. Like,
his name is kind of goofy.
Sounds
Romulan.
Yeah. It doesn't sound Vulcan. It sounds wrong. Like, I'm not saying he needs to be called like Spock Jr. or Spock.
Or Corkboard.
You know, but.
Ensign Stopgap.
The only thing this is missing is a Takei. What was it? Yeah. That's all it's missing.
I thought it's funny how Sisko, Dr. Crusher, Data, and then the Andorian female transport down to the planet to discuss the issues that they're having, and then Worf gets command of the Theseus, and he goes, first thing he says, "Today is a good day to die."
Yep. Sir, I would like to very fervently lose an objection to dying. This ship is capable of some real damage we could dump the extra power into. Ambassador, we have 10 ships arranging themselves into the battle formation. Hunter's Corner, Wounded Targ. Okay.
And then I love how Worf, you know, throws it back in the Klingon's face that's trying to get them away from there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they contact Scotty and he's like, "Hey, laddie, this isn't my first Klingon negotiation." And then Worf, as I said, a good day to die.
Yep.
But... yeah, it's kind of interesting, though, that, you know, all the stuff that's going on in the planet, and then Worf is holding fire and not allowing them to shoot.
Yeah, I know that these alien beings that they're talking to, like the clear ghost looking lady or whatever she's supposed to be. Yeah,
they're called the
something.
Yeah,
Holy Sarkadesh. Yeah. So the Sarkadesh lady or girl or whatever it's supposed to be, kind of like she reminds me of obviously ghost-like figures, but because I'm looking at the panel where she's like, "Lives? What care we for lives?" That's a weird way to say that, but okay. That image of this being reminds me of the Dredge from Titan A.E. The blue evil queen mother, whatever, like, obviously this isn't the queen mother, but like just her design and the way she looks kind of reminds me of those characters. And the designs in this, like we already said, the colors, the lines on the ships. Oh my God, this is so cool. I'm loving this series.
I love the detail.
Yes.
It's, you know, you'll have some far away where they're, you know, kind of a, you know, you can kind of tell what they are. And then you've got some where it's like fully detailed.
Yep.
I don't know. I just, I loved it. And then with Worf, he's very smart and tactical because mm-hmm. he did it for a long time in the Enterprise plus on Deep Space Nine.
Yep.
He says, whatever you do, do not fire. And then he says, Marshal Uktok is a well-known braggart and a politician from a wealthy house. I saw him duel at the Feast of Kor, avoiding the strikes and wincing at pain. He is a coward, and cowards fear what they cannot understand. And then Worf's like, this is an experimental vessel. He's like, what can, you know, and then tells Scotty to overload the new area. And then
I was waiting for...
You heard the captain, Tanar. Pushing the compensators past 300%. That should be enough to register on even a rusted old Klingon scanner system.
And then they're like, I fail to see how that will dissuade the...
It's a bluff, ya wee Vulcan, a James Kirk special.
I was just waiting for the standard Scotty line. I've put...
The engines cannot take a strain.
Yeah, she can't take anymore, Captain.
She can't like, take...
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, again, I think it'll come, but...
Yeah, I'm sure. As long as Scotty doesn't die, I don't think they'll kill him off, but let's hope. But, like, you know, they do that. We've bought the captain enough time. We get back to the planet where everybody's, you know, kind of standing around or whatever, waiting for whatever is going to happen. Holy Sarkadesh shall rest once more. And, again, the colors, just the sheer change in color. So if you go back up to the outer space pages of the space battles of, you know, them flying in space, and you go down to everything we just talked about with Scotty, all of these colors are like greens and blues and yellows. And we get down to the planet and we see all these like reds and purples and blue. And then we see the panel where, like I said, the alien being says, and holy Sarkadesh shall rest. What, like, that's a bright, flashy lens flare panel, and I just love it. It's so good.
Yeah. Notice how the only one that it's bothering the head of is the Andorian.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, those crazy Andorians.
Yep. But anyways, I think it's funny how it takes Data to talk them down.
Yeah.
Because they don't respect organic beings, but he's like, look, they made me.
Yeah, I'm not an organic being. I am an android. I am a robot.
So, and then they get back to the ready, you know, to the conference room and start discussing the whole situation, like typically happens in Trek fashion. Worf basically is saying, you know, that he would like to be reinstated as a Starfleet officer and resign his post as ambassador so that he can help.
Mm-hmm.
And they found one thing in this issue, one discarded clue for them to follow.
Yep.
And it's a Klingon blade.
Yep. It's a Klingon blade, and I love how IDW does, and most comic companies do this, but like they'll have the little word blurb at the bottom, like next, and then they'll have something. And I was not expecting them to have what they have here. Next, so long, and thanks for all the cue.
And you know, cue's coming.
Well, yeah, hello, obviously.
Well, and he's one of those.
He's one of those beings. He's one of those
beings, those entities.
Yes. I love all of the variant covers there for this issue. There's multiple ones. There's the main cover that's done by Ramon Rosanas, colors by Lee Lochridge. There's a Data cover that's done by Malachi Ward. There is a Worf and Sisko cover by J.K. Woodward. There is a Sisko cover done by Christian Ward. It's so cool.
My favorite one is the one by J.K. Woodward.
Yeah, that one's awesome. I love that one.
Because it shows them how they are.
Yes. And I'm already going to put you on the spot because I am probably going to go into IDW's server because we have access. And that's going to be the art for this banner. I'm going to make you start doing banners again, damn it. And that's going to be the art for this episode because you're right. The J.K. Woodward cover with Worf and Sisko, literally, it looks like Michael Dorn and Avery Brooks. Like, I mean, they look cute. I know Worf technically isn't human, but the actors are. All right, Star Trek issue number 2. I like where it's going. I like that it gave us action and story at different points. I've already mentioned the colors and the art. The writing is so cool. It's so fun because you have these serious situations mixed in with partial comedy, and it just works.
I don't know. It's unfolding in an interesting fashion, and to be honest, the writers captured these characters' personas to the T. So, I give this very high marks.
Yes. So 0 to 5, it was probably going to get a 4.5 for me. It wasn't that I disliked anything, but it didn't. Like the next issue, when we talk about issue 3 here in a minute, that one kind of like that's probably going to get my 5 because wow, issue 3 is this one was good. Issue 3 is great.
Yeah. So I too will give this a 4.5 out of 5 just because I relish where the next one goes. I like when Q shows up. Anytime he shows up like in track, that's like some of my favorite content. Granted, I've met the man twice, so.
Nice. And yeah. You folks have probably already heard at the beginning of the podcast, this is John DeLancey, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network because, you know, we talked to the guy a number of years ago now. But, yeah, we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. We're going to come back to kick off issue 3 of Star Trek from IDW Publishing. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh yes, definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast, or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
TFG and Mike here from the Geekcast Radio Network, and today, folks, I want to talk to you about Morton's PC Repair and Service. Does your PC feel like it's a piece of dead or dying garage equipment? If you're in around the Louisville, Kentucky area and your PC needs help, call Morton's PC Repair and Service. They have the lowest prices in town, payment plans available, fast, reliable service with custom builds, virus removal, reformats, upgrades, and just about anything else your PC needs. You can reach them at 502-294-3359 or find them on Facebook. As someone who recently partook of their services, I can safely say they are the best in the PC repair business. So check out Morton's PC Repair and Service.
Transformers! You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com. At iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
All right, folks, we are back here inside the Pullbag for the month of February. It is the Star Trek episode. We're going to get into issue 3 from IDW Publishing, same creative team. As I mentioned before, Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing on writing with all of the same artists. Actually, no, I have to correct myself. We have Ramon Rosanas on pages 1 and 22, and then we have Joe Eisma on pages 2 through 21.
Interesting.
That's interesting, but I like it. I think it's cool. Colors are still done by Lee Lockridge. Letterer is Clayton Cowles. Very, very cool. Design and production. I see his name all the time, but Neil Yukitai, or Yukite. Love that guy. So the senior editor is Heather Antos. And we get, let's see here. Across the galaxy, godlike aliens are being destroyed. Starfleet Command Captain Benjamin Sisko, emissary to the godlike Bajoran prophets, has assembled a crew of legends to discover this murderer and stop them. Dun, dun, dun.
What's funny is he technically didn't assemble this crew. Picard did.
Well, yes. I mean, Picard was in the first issue.
Picard gave him the ship, gave him the crew.
Yeah. Yeah, that is technically true. And we start with Talar, and we kind of get like his morning routine, I guess you could say, and we get his personnel. I like this. Like, you've watched almost all of Trek, and I know plenty of other friends of mine that have watched all of Trek. Ryan the Uneven Flow is a huge Trekkie, just like you are, and I know you guys know this stuff frontwards and backwards. But with the TV shows, you don't often get – this is why I love the medium of comics, because you can have an opening scene here where he's getting out of bed, he's going to brush his teeth or eat something or take a shower, and then you have his personnel files and you have this little bio thing, and it's like, oh, this, and this. You get down to disciplinary incident during posting at Starbase 1, details classified. I love that kind of, like, it's not a break in the story, but it's a continual, like, you know, okay, he's getting in the shower, he's getting dressed, here's some information about him while he does that. And then we go to Cisco and Crusher.
Yep.
Therapy session time.
Yep. And Cisco's like, nope.
Yeah. Like, this is not going to work.
Yeah, and he's like, I couldn't describe it if I, you know, she says, try me for science. Have you ever been omnipotent? I once single-handedly escaped a reality-erasing warp bubble. I was the only being in existence. One time I fell in love with a ghost, which is like the worst Dr. Crusher storyline ever. So they had to reference it.
Yeah.
And then she's like, and as well as you know, my son went through a similar situation to yours, so I have some context.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And then, you know, she says to him, I think you're a man with a mission he barely understands, undergoing physiological changes that I'm only just now beginning to test. My concern isn't about your faith. It's about your humanity. I don't know if you truly are human anymore. Dr. Crusher, do you? Does your son? Like, oh, wow. Like, damn, Beverly, damn.
She's never been one to hold punches, though.
No.
And then it cuts over to Jake.
Yep.
Cooking.
Yep, Jake and Talar. And I, again, I like this. It's a new character to me. And, you know, with Jake specifically is new character to me. And obviously Talar is a new character to everybody. And sadly, I don't know why IDW did this, but then they very rarely do this, but they put an ad for the Discovery trades that they're coming out with, but we'll skip that. Yeah, no, it is what it is. Whatever.
It is what it is. I just don't have any interest in it.
I don't either, but like IDW usually doesn't do ads in the middle of the stories. They will put them at the end. And I was kind of like, wait a minute, why is, you know, we're having a great old time with Jake and Talar here on cooking with Star Trek characters. And then all of a sudden, hey, here's an ad for, you know, the new graphic novels based on the hit TV series. Okay. So we get back to Jake and Talar, and I love their conversation. I think their conversation is so fun and interesting and cool, and they are talking about issues that, you know, they've been through and things like that. And we get Talar to the bridge, and then we go into the wild, wild west.
Yep, that's a Q thing.
Yep. So
this is the bridge to the. This is Captain to the bridge. Bridge is not a valid designation for a location aboard the Theseus. Insufficient data. Some kind of dimensional anomaly.
Yep. And then Scotty's, you know, and then like, there's oh, weird hell.
Stuff ravaging the shuttle bay.
Yep.
Scotty's down. He's seen other things, but.
Yep.
Not like this. And,
yeah.
You know, and Cisco's being talked to by the prophets.
Yep.
And then he figured out that only one hides behind a curtain, and then Q, oh, Benji, always the poet, but I don't need a grand introduction. Just say my name. And he says, Q.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, and I mean, I know this is very, very short because we just started this, but like literally I'm like, isn't that where this should have ended? Like, that seems like a very cliffhanger scene to me. And then we get into the LCARS of the Starfleet database X962, the log entry results. And I like this because we have log entries from
various, they get shorter as it goes down.
Yep. We get log entries from various captains.
You know,
like
Picard, you know, this is the one that I just, you know, is very obnoxious. And then, you know, the USS London, which they just kind of threw in there and created, you know, it says, you know, he made a mariachi band follow me through a delicate diplomatic situation with the Shellyak. The seventh and final time, he made a lot of fart noises and pouted around my bridge complaining I wasn't paying enough attention to him.
And then Janeway from Voyager. And then I love Sisko.
It's one entry and it's short.
Q came to Deep Space Nine today. I put my fist through his face. End of log.
And he did it again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, he does.
He's it. Like, I didn't think I'd have to teach you this lesson a second time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the one who had to learn the lesson. And then he goes, the Sisko is trapped in a puzzle. The Sisko is all alone. The Sisko can only rely on himself. The Sisko has a hammer bluntly. And I'm afraid you're entirely the wrong tool for the situation.
This is, again, like I said earlier in the podcast, this is why I want to go back and rewatch DS9, because I have only seen like clips and things of Q, and I know Q isn't in all of it, but like I want to rediscover that show. So just because of this comic, and it's so cool. It's so, so fun. And Q, he's a particular kind of bastard, isn't he?
Yep. Well, he likes to test them. And then Scotty's like, freaking out because the warp core's creating breaking all every space-time law, and he wrote them all.
Yep.
And Q is like, you've already failed the test. And then Crusher's like, there it is. Q's favorite word, test.
Yep.
And then Sisko's son interrupts and he goes, rude. I was going to give a whole foreboding monologue.
Yep.
And then he has to say games. And that's when Q is like, all right.
Here, go swimming from an octopus, or here, do this, or here, do that.
Now, there's in every panel, there's something for T'Lyra and Sisko to get through.
Yeah.
Like they're running through a hallway, they jump down a turbolift shaft, they have to fight by people that are fencing.
Yep.
They have to swim through a deck with an octopus.
Yep.
They have to go ballroom dancing. They have to go through the 23rd century with Kirk, Kor, and the Organian Peace Treaty. And then the episode of the Tribbles, overloading the ship.
Yeah.
And then the next panel, it looks like, it's part of the ship, like the deflector control area. But what's funny is it looks like in Beast Machines.
It does. It kind of looks like the Oracle.
Yeah.
But it also kind of looks like the Stargate from Stargate SG-1. A little bit. So we get Scotty and T'Lar and Jake and Scotty looks like he's dying. T'Lar, you got to activate the fix. The core's accelerating to collapse. And this is where we get T'Lar's kind of, Jake, you previously noted my similarity to the famed Ambassador Spock. This is not a coincidence. I encountered Spock when I was a child. I saw him in everything noble in the universe when faced with overwhelming problems. Like those we face today, Spock's example leaves me no option but to put the needs of the few above the needs of the many. For I am T'Lar, a Vulcan of Starfleet, and whoosh.
And then at the last second, yep. Q saves the day.
Yeah, he snaps it away.
And he's got a modern uniform, but he decided to go with operations instead of command. And he's an admiral.
I thought it was supposed to be a spoof of Kirk.
No.
Okay.
He
I'm so used to him in his like old man cloak design that seeing
he also dressed like Picard a lot.
Okay.
And then he switched to the new uniform when Sisko came. And right. He says, oh, you got a new tailor. And then he switched. And then in Voyager he just kept the same uniform.
Yep. So he goes on and says all this stuff, all this Q thing, and he and Sisko shake hands, seek out the god city of T'Kon, and don't you dare let us down, snap. And did it work? Cisco to engineering, how are the laws of space-time being down there? You never know they could be broken all at all, Bridge. Are ye back with us? And, you know, so it's kind of sort of back to normal, but not
and then,
really.
And then Worf, it only took me 1 week on this vessel to end up in a stupid hat. Because that's what happened. He probably put him in Sherwood Forest.
Yeah, he probably did. Oh, Worf. Oh, Q. And, yeah, so we get basically, you know, Sisko is sitting there eating, and after, you know, he talks with Crusher again, and we get more of T'Lar, and it's kind of like a mixture of the two scenes, and T'Lar says, I am T'Lar, a Vulcan Starfleet. And, yeah.
Well, something, I mean, you obviously know something's wrong with T'Lar.
Yeah, look at his chest in the panel.
Yeah, but he's struggling to say, I am, and then T'Lar, I am T'Lar.
Yeah.
I think he's either a changeling.
Okay.
Like a shapeshifter.
Yep.
Or because he lit up the way he did in there.
Yep.
He's some other species that can kind of change their physical appearance. He might even be an Organian.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm not entirely sure, but
yeah, I'm not entirely sure either.
It'll be interesting to see why he has that blemish and why he's struggling so much to hold it together.
Yeah. Ugh. Next, the City of the Gods. For the covers for this issue, we have four of them. We have the first one is the ship with Q's skeletal-looking face in the background. That's done by Ramon Rosanes with colors by Lee Lochridge. The second one is Sisko with Q's, you know, image behind him.
That one's my favorite.
Yeah, that one's a good. That one's really good. Yep, that's probably my favorite.
But the one with the Theseus is my second favorite.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That it's a cool kind of like, oh, you're flying away from danger kind of thing. Very cool, very cool. I'm loving this series. I think this series is so fun. I think it's interesting that they have. Whatever story that they're going towards, it's interesting to me because it feels like I'm coming in fresh. I don't need to know the last 70 years of Star Trek or however the hell long it's been.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to know everything. I know some of the characters, but the story as it progresses is captivating my attention because I'm like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next. How are they going to do this? What are they going to do that? And the whole thing with T'Lar and Jake, and then obviously T'Lar at the end, it's like, ooh, here's a bit of mystery here. What is he? What's he going to do? Obviously, based on this issue, we know Q's going to always mess things up, but maybe this is the only encounter for the series that we have of Q, but who knows? You know, we'll have to wait until next time for issue 4 to see. I assume you're giving this a 5.
Yep.
I am also going to give it a 5. I really dug it. I thought it was super fun. I thought it was interesting. Just overall, really enjoyed it.
Same here.
All right, folks. I think we're going to go to one more quick break, and we're going to come back after this to close it out.
Do you know John Hiatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf or in your cowhorned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good Podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good podcast, Have a Little Faith.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on GeekCast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Get.
Yes, Michael.
Just keep driving.
We are back here inside the pull bag. Steve Megatron, it is February 2023. What have you got going on?
More podcasts. Definitely yes. Podcasts.
Yeah, we don't know which ones yet, but definitely, no. Definitely more podcasts. No. Definitely.
That and working on Transformers figures, but...
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. As I said, folks, this is going to be the only episode here in February, episode 509, because coming up in March, we've got the 10-year anniversary episode. I don't know what I'm doing for that, but episode 510 will be a decade of decadence, 10 years of TPB. Steve and I are also going to do... Transformers Classics Volumes 2 and 3 for the Transformers stuff for Transforming Marvelous March. I hope I can get through those.
They're not all that bad. Some of the issues, I will say, are painful that are in those volumes.
Yeah.
But some of them are not.
Well, let's hope.
It depends on the writer and it depends on the art and what characters are featured. Cause there's some characters I'm just like, I cannot do this. It's just, they're painful to read, but
so
we'll get there.
Yeah. Originally. Cause I know you want to cover these and I'm more than I'll do whatever.
I'm more excited once we get to Dreamwave to see if it actually holds up to what I remember.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe
I did enjoy Marvel.
Yeah, maybe we'll just switch to Dreamwave, but we will be doing, at least in March, Volume 2 and Volume 3. I moved the other volumes down to Autobotly August, so it at least gives us a few months head start on whether we want to change our mind or not. So, that's what's coming up in March. So 10 years of the pull bag. Folks, if you're hearing the sound of my voice and you've listened to this podcast at all in the last 10 years... Send me MP3 files, send me voicemails, whatever you want to do. Obviously, MP3 recorded files are fine. If you've listened or if you've, paid attention to the podcast and what you like about the show, what you don't like, whatever it is, if you want to just thank us, please send those to feedback@geekcastradio.com because I do want to compile some sort of listener section for the 10-year episode of the show. So there is that. And that's basically what's coming up next is 10 years of the pullbag in March. You can go to geekcastradio.com where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can check us out on any podcatching client you choose to use. You can follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio for the network, @ThePullbag for the show. I am @TF2 and Mike. What is your Twitter?
@SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out the pullbag over there as well. And like I mentioned, next time is 10 years of the pullbag. I don't know what the hell I'm doing with that, but it is what it is, and I'm sure I'll figure it out. That's why I gave myself a whole month to figure out what the hell I'm doing with the next episode. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Steve Megatron.
As always, make your great escape into comics.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullback. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullback and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.